Good evening, everyone. People are frowning now. More laugh now, at least. Just can we smile? Just look at somebody on your left hand, on your right hand, smile. I say smile. I don't just say laugh. But just smile. All right. Theme for the program this evening says, "Is love enough?" Okay. We're thinking. I think we're having a conversation at some point. Is love enough? Different answers came up. Then I think I was just surfing online, going through some pages online. I stumbled upon a theme. I think a particular church was carrying on a theme. It says, love don't cost a thing. At first, I wanted to argue. Then I think what I did was I had to remember that I'm a teacher. So before you argue, you have to calm down, think first. It says, love don't cost a thing. So I just had to just calm myself down. No need to argue. It could be a paradox. It could be, you know, now we use figures of speech. They just want you to give your own argument or say something about the topic. So I just had to be calm. I understand where they were actually going to. All right, so is love enough? All right, so we have some series of questions here, very interesting questions that I know cut across everybody in one or two aspects of our lives, which I actually want us to put our minds, our hearts to, and let's see what will come up as we forge ahead with the program. All right, I'll go straight to the first question so as not to waste our time. The first one. All right. I think this one actually comes with the second question I brought up that says, love don't cost a thing. I don't know how true that statement is, but you can still search in your mind. And all right, the first question has to do with financial challenges. All right, I'll just read what is here, then we'll deliberate about the whole thing. It says, how do you navigate financial difficulties as a couple, and can love conquer significant economic challenges? I'll come again. Okay, the question is relating to financial challenges.
Okay, don't worry. Hold on. Thank you. So, you answered that question, but my own question to all of you is, what is love? Before you can answer any other thing based on love, then what is love? What is your own definition of love? Omolola, come and tell us. That's how it is. So you have 2 minutes. You can stay there and tell us what love is, because you're asking questions around love. Then you need to be able to tell what love is. Hallelujah. What do you understand love to be? Oh yeah, now. No. There are people online. And so.
God is love.
All right. No problem. Mr. Sajiri, please, can you just help? What do you understand by love?
Love is kind.
Love is kind.
And patient.
As long as a pastor.
Love cannot be hidden. It is easily expressed when it's true.
Thank you. Sister Esther, Abby, am I right? Please, what do you understand by love? Now, don't forget, in the context of the title of this program, is love enough, okay? And I've told you that they're asking the love around relationships and all that. The foundation I gave to you, okay, is just how the world is formed. On that basis, is the foundation of the world. God is love. But in the context of what we're talking about, we are looking at relationships, we are looking at marriages and all that. But to you, if somebody comes to you and says, I love you, all right. If somebody comes to you and says, he loves you, not I love you.
Good evening, everyone.
All right.
So I wrote some things down about love. I don't know if I can read it.
Yeah, you can try. Okay. Or you can come forward and...
So I'm fine here.
You're fine, okay. So that they won't think I'm calling somebody from the internet.
No, so I'm fine here.
All right, speak.
I wrote that it never gives up. It cares more for others than itself. It doesn't want what it doesn't have. It is contented, not covetous. It is not proud, but humble. It does not have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It is not selfish. It is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth in truth and not evil. It puts up with anything. It trusts God always. It always looks for the best of the other person. It believeth all things. It keeps going forward and never looks back. It faileth not. It never dies. It is inspiring. It is understanding. It is complete in God.
That's why she wrote that she likes reading and she likes writing. Please let me give it to the media team so that they can type and then they project. So he dieth not and he faileth not. Hallelujah. Over to you.
Please, let's give her a round of applause. It felt like I was listening to one new poem, like it was poetic, kind of. All right. Okay, let me also give mine. I know everybody actually has their own definition of what love is. For me, I think I usually say this. For me, I think love is commitment. That's what I usually tell myself. Because sometimes, either the feeling is there or not, either the person is there or not, you just have to do what you have to do to keep to your own part of the deal. Let me call it a deal. But for me, I take love as commitment itself. Putting yourself into something and staying through till the end. All right, so we get back to our question on financial challenges. We know we are in one trying time in Nigeria now. And I think the team for this year, they will always say, no grief for anybody. I don't know how many people don't agree or no grief for anybody this year. But the first thing here talks about financial challenge. Because this time around, people complain, high cost of living, low standard of living. You just high inflation. You can buy very little thing with a lot of money. You might have 10,000 and what you come out from the market with is just a little nylon bag. So a lot of things like there are financial challenges now. Not everybody's just trying to pull through. So the question says, how do you navigate financial difficulty as a couple? I don't know if we should limit it just only to couples, but since it's a relationship thing, as a couple, and can love conquer significant economic challenges? Economic challenges, I've explained, high cost of living, low standard of living, because you only be able to purchase very little with a lot of money. That's just a simple definition for inflation. When you are buying a little thing and you are spending a lot for it, that's what we call inflation. But the question now is saying, how do we navigate through this financial difficulty as a couple? Then, can love conquer significant economic challenges? Especially when they are what? Financial challenge. How can love help the couple pull through? I don't know if the question is clear or I still need to break down a little. Is the question clear? All right. So the question is on financial challenge. Okay, I think a mic should be going round so that we can get one or two answers for the question. Somebody can help me with a mic. Okay. So if you have an answer, please, let's just wave so as we can. There are a lot of questions to answer so that we can answer as much as possible. I come again. How do you navigate financial difficulty as a couple? And can love conquer significant economic challenge? I've explained what economic challenge is. The Nigerian economy, let's just bring it down to our own country. We can see the way things are. And trust me, if you are a couple with the high cost of things, sometimes your partner might want something, you cannot afford it, or you are telling your partner, see, let's not do this one yet. Let's focus on this one. What she's seeing as a lady might not be what you are seeing as a man or as a guy. Yours might be a different view, and she's coming towards a different end. Take for instance, all right, let me just give an example. She wants, let's say, an attachment or a weave on or something for a particular occasion. And for you, it's costing a lot. And you're telling her, okay, CEO, why not manage this one? Why not we use the money for this? And to her, she wants that need to be satisfied. That's part of the economic challenges we are talking about. You are seeing something else that you guys have to do with finance, but she's seeing something else. And maybe at the end of the day, it's bringing up issues. How do you manage it? Because the main issue there is the finance. We can't buy or do everything at the same time. So how do we overcome, how can love conquer significant economic challenges? And how do we navigate financial difficulty as a couple? We have one. Mama Saj, yeah. Okay, sorry, okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, let me give it a try. I recalled during the coronavirus period. That was like 2020, right?
2020.
Okay, so I just want to push this in on how love can, you know, come in during financial challenges, even as couples and before, you know. So then I think we're not married, I and Happiness, and but I think that time my job went out of the line. Has was also shaky, you know. So, you know, she was always checking up on me to know how this guy is faring. One thing I saw there was sacrifice. Sacrifice in terms of, you know, what you have is not enough, but you still bring it out to, you know, help somebody still live or not go out begging, because she's always mindful of me not borrowing or begging from anyone. So I would say sacrifice, number one. I'll push in planning as well as couples. I believe before anything comes in, there's one thing I've also learned in church here about planning, savings, and the rest of it all. So planning is one thing. Before, Setman would always tell you, he would always say, save no matter what, even if you're earning 10 naira, save 1 naira or 2 naira. So, you know, savings has gone a long way, you know, in me growing into marriage. It's saving has helped us. If I tell you how we did the marriage, got to the point of renting the house, and got to the point of paying ahead, you know, how the money came in and how things happened, you know, how flourishing just happened. It's sacrifice, planning, being committed to whatever plan you have. And can you say the question again? Say it to help me recall something.
The question says, how do you navigate financial difficulty as a couple, and can love conquer significant economic challenges?
Yes. So, all in all, I see it is love, basically, because only love will make you go that way for somebody. So, tell you the truth, sometimes everybody is busy. You would call your brothers and your sisters. Everybody has their own challenge, you know. But for someone to still let go whatever they have to want to still know how you're faring, even if it's just a call. So I believe sacrifice, planning, commitment, and communication all builds up to whatever, to the financial life in marriage. And also being contented with what you have at the moment, okay? Not being satisfied, okay? Just be content with that. Work towards what you want, and you get everything sorted out.
All right, thank you very much. All right, I need someone else to still help us with an additional answer. Then please, to save us more time, for each question, I will only get just two people to give us an answer, and we have 2 minutes, just 2 minutes to quickly wrap up the answer to the question so we can answer as much as possible.
Okay, my name is Marvel. How you can get through difficulties as financial difficulties, right? As yes. A couple.
Yes, ma'am.
So one of the things I also will say is that first and foremost, there is an understanding and there is a communication about what comes in or what is coming in. So if you know what is coming in and there is a communication, then it will help plan what you have. Another thing that can also help is having more than a plan. Okay, so you have a plan A, a plan B, and probably a plan C, so that along the line, when A, B is not working, you can also rely on C, and that when there is also a communication about what is available. Another one is making decisions. So there are times that you want to make a decision based on a business or a decision based on what you want to acquire, And then you look at it, you also pray about it. And then sometimes you would have prayed about it, but you know that financially you cannot be able to do this in the next, you know, time. So it still boils down to communication. So if you're able to communicate and understand where you are and where you're working towards, it will help you navigate the times that are difficult. And then in difficult economy, it's for you to be able to work in having multiple streams of income. It also helps when everybody is bringing more than two things to the team.
All right, thank you, ma'am. Please, let's give her a round of applause. All right, so what I'm going to be doing here from our the short notes we all wrote, our questions, I'll be picking up similar questions. So I just asked them once, so we don't need to repeat the same question twice. All right, still on finance, I think one or two people asked something. Someone asked, should you know about your fiancé's income when dating, since it's relating to finance? Then another question here says, can love exist without money? So I just want, if we can get one or two. Okay, it says, can love exist without money? Should you know about your fiancé's income when dating? So it's still relating to finance. So I want us to answer the questions relating to finance at once before we move to a different heading. The first one says, can love exist without money? Then the second one, should you know about your fiancé's income when dating? Okay. All right. Vicky wants to answer.
For the first one, okay. Can love exist without money? Impossible. Love can never exist without money. So, okay. Because love is also giving. So there is no way you will love somebody you don't want to give that person what he or she needs. So you can't do that without money. So it's not even possible. So number two, should you know about your finance,
your fiance's
income when dating? As a person, I would want to know. I would even, it is one of the questions I would throw. So we'll know where we are heading to. So should I know? I think it's very important because in when you have expectations about doing certain projects together, you have it in mind that this is what my fiance and so you plan around that and you don't go way overboard.
All right, thank you very much. One thing before someone else picks up the mic, the way she faced me and she was like, don't be me, ask her. All right, the way she was so serious looking at me, no, I will tell you, I would, easy. I'm only asking the question on your behalf. All right. Anybody answering? Pastor NY, the question seems, I would have loved you to throw light a little on it. It says, can love exist without money?
Then praise God.
Should you know about...
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So you are going to sing. Elo ni mo son, foba ogo. Elo ni Jesu mi ba. Elo ni mo son, foba ogo. Fore re, lori mi. Elo ni mo son, foba ogo. Elo ni Jesu mi ba. Elo ni mo son, foba ogo. Fore re, lori mi. One more time. Elo ni mo son, how much did you pay
foba ogo
to the King of Kings? How much did he ask from you? Aha. Elo ni mo son foba ogo fore re lori mi. Love exists without money. Okay? Without money, love exists. And it has to apply to everybody. It is time for us to debrief ourselves and then we take the right things and we work with them. Love exist without money, but you cannot love without giving, and you don't give money only. When you love, you will give. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I've told Tochi several times, be careful with the internet. Love costs you something. There's no way you will love and it would not cost you. Hallelujah. It cost you. And that's why I told you people to type what Sister Esther read. That's why I told you to type it so that you can display it. Love exists without money. But without giving, you cannot say you love. If you give your time, you give your resources, and those two things are very important. In case you don't understand, for every time that I sit down with you and you sit down with me, I am giving you my life. You sit down and you are crying, and I sit down with you and I say, I love you. I'm giving you my life. It's what you place the value on that is important. If the second one, this, because we can't finish all this, ones, I just gave you so that you can go and ruminate. The second one, your fiancé's income, to me, is not your business. You have no commitment and you have nothing. If you know that your fiancé is working, fine, all well and good. Is your fiancé, I'm not arguing. That's why people get into trouble. So, let me tell you, yes, that's why people get into trouble. If you know your fiancé is coming today, what do you want to do with it? What do you plan with it? Is it your money? Grandma is here. I mean, I can say me, I'm Gen, maybe I'm Gen U or Gen V. Grandma is Gen A. Gen A, Abby. You don't, is your fiancé, there's no commitment. It's like I've told you several times the story of myself and my wife. I've told you. Even now, it's not my business what she earns. It's not. We can all differ, but truly, that's how we begin to dig pitfalls for ourselves. What do you want to do with your fiancé's income if you know it? If it's your husband, no problem. There's a difference between your husband and your fiancé. If he comes and says, I'm working, I want to know where you work, what you do for a living, no problem. Very fine. When I was dating my wife, she knows where I work. If she wants something, it's not even compulsory for me to buy something. She doesn't ask me for something, but I'll go. But it's not important, truly. That's when, so that you don't begin to dig. I mean, you have time to, later on to ask other questions, but truly, your fiancé's income is not your problem. Not your problem. So if he tells you he has 10,000, you walk away. Abby? If he says he has 1 billion, you will sit down.
Thank you very much, sir.
Let's go to the next question.
Let's give Pastor a round of applause.
I was going to, sorry. We are spending a lot of time. But I was going to ask Grandma to say something because that's from experience. I think the other time we had this program is from experience. And that's why we have to learn. The generation we are in is too materialistic and is a problem. The people that have gone ahead of us that are in marriage for 40 years, 50 years, they will tell you they weathered the storm and they are still standing. Grandma, just 2 minutes. Help me answer them. That is love. Does love exist without money?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Money is not everything. When there is love, 100 miles away, just a pole. When you are love with people, you don't hurt them. And when there is love, peace, happiness in your home. Because of love, maybe I used to be angry, but because of the love my husband has for me, I can stop it. You know, when you are doing something, maybe that's because you love that person, you will stop it. You won't do it again. So love conquer everything.
Glory. Let's give Grandma a round of applause.
Money is not everything at all. When you love, no matter what your husband gives you, you'll be satisfied. And when you have, you can't wait for only your husband now. Me, if I have, I don't ask. I just do it. So don't expect the man will just be doing everything. It's not possible. So we have to show love. Love is conquer everything. Love in anything. It brings peace. It brings joy. In the home, you'll be happy to learn to love other people. When you live in a compound, when you love people, you won't worry in that compound. There must be peace. So in anywhere you go, let us show love. Love is very important.
Thank you, man. Let's give Grandma a round of applause. All right, so for me, I think that that question for me, if you really think about it and put it to heart, I don't say think about it. Okay, I said think about it first, but if you think, just put it to heart, you really know that what they've said. Okay, 1 minute. So we can move to the next question.
All right, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Something quickly that I want to add. There's also the corresponding side, and which is appreciation. When someone shows or expresses love to you, it's good that you appreciate it. One of the things I like to pinpoint most of the time was I'd met two ladies before I met my wife, and they were not appreciative. Do heaven and earth. In fact, there's one. That one is always, each time I remember it, it gets me. Imagine giving a girl a large sum of money. So if it's like today, it's like giving a girl about $100K as a gift. And the next day is your birthday, and she couldn't even buy a card. She had to go get a card that was given to her by someone else, clean the name, come out, and give me as a gift. That's how stingy she was. So, but yes, what happened? When I met my wife, one of the first things I did was I gave her a gift, and that's for the guys here. Never meet the person you want to date without a gift, no matter how small. It's very, very important. It shows how much you appreciate it. It was a small gift, a tiny gift, stored. This small earring stored, but she appreciated it so much, like I had just given her a piece of land. And with that, I said, if this lady can appreciate this small thing, then mighty thing will be well appreciated. And so I'm just saying it to correspond with what Mommy and Pastor NY said. There's also the other side. When you appreciate, and they say appreciation is application for more, we should also learn to appreciate little things because they birth big things. They make big things come. And then somebody whispered to me, I think it was Uche that said something here, when somebody said, when Pastor Mewa was giving that answer, and he said, what about when a lady wants to make her hair? The guy you are dating is not your father. That because you want to make your hair or you want to do something, you have need to, because you, the guy is just asking you out, you want to heap up your responsibility, make a build house for you. No, it's not your father. You have, and so he has to be working, it's fine. But that you want to pry into that, overstretching the bound, and the guy can run. Especially if he's an Igbo guy, he will run because you are just carrying him.
All right, hallelujah. Let's give Papa a hand of applause. Round of applause. All right, yes, I was actually going to this question already. Yeah, and I think I linked it a little to our culture and family differences too as well. Okay. I kind of linked it to our culture and family differences. So let's just listen to this question. When we say culture sometimes, or the word culture does not always mean where you are from or your ethnic group. Sometimes it could be how you are raised. That's the mentality you grew up with. I think that's more of where this definition of culture should come from. So I'll just read two questions at the same time, then just two people, please 2 minutes. There are a lot of questions so we can actually answer as much as possible. It says, this question comes under cultural and family differences. When love is present, how do you handle differences in cultural background or conflicting family expectations? It has to relate with culture. There are some people I've seen because he's an Igbo boy or Igbo guy. She's, let's say, a Yoruba or an Efik. The Igbo parent does not want to hear you are marrying from any other culture. Some parents do not accept. If you are doing it, they are not supporting you. That's one. Then if I could link this second question to it, okay, this one has to say, is it ideal to wait for your spouse for 5 years and you are of age to marry presently? I think this is one of the questions. So someone actually might have written this down already. So is it ideal to wait for a long time? So you feel you are ready to marry, and maybe your spouse or your fiancé, the person you are actually dating or going out with, is not ready at that moment. Before we answer the question, I think, I'll just give a little experience, though it happened some years back. For me, or for most guys, I don't know, but for me, I think I had that experience where I want to make out something of my life first. Yeah, I have goals, I have dreams, I have aspirations. Yeah, I still want to make little money, yeah, at least, before settling down. And maybe you are dating someone, she feels she's of age, 29, 30, 31. Sometimes ladies are always, you know now, let me marry on time, give birth on time, and on time stuff. But you, the guy, you feel you are not ready. You still want to get one or two things in place. And to her, she feels she's ready. Let us get married, or I want to get married. And if you are not ready, I might leave you for someone else. It's a problem on its own. How do we handle such a kind of a situation? Then how long is okay to stay in courtship? So I'm bringing in two, three questions at the same time. Remember, the first one is talking about culture and family background. If I'm from a particular culture or from a particular family, I've heard someone say something like, the family I came from is a small family. Maybe I have like three siblings, my dad and my mom, so we are like five. It's a small family. Then maybe the person I'm actually wanting to marry comes from a very large family. And to you, because you are coming from a small family, you don't like crowd. I've heard somebody told me something like that before, that she doesn't like crowd. That if she had known from the beginning that the family she's entering into like was a very big family, she would have declined. These are challenges. Sometimes I was just reasoning, well, is this an issue? But yes, to some people it is. So now we are looking at cultural and family background. How do we curb or work around those situations when they come in? Culture in the sense that we did not come from the same family, the same ethnic group, for example. There are some parents that will not want their parents. If you are Igbo, marry Igbo. If you are Yoruba, marry Yoruba. Don't mix, or else we will not agree. That's culture on one hand. Family, some people do not like to get married to very large families. Or sometimes there could be some kind of family differences or what they do. You seem not to like it. And how do you work around that kind of thing? And the second says, is it ideal to wait for your spouse for 5 years or more, when you know you are of age to get married and the person is not ready? Then also to attach to that question, how long should we wait, or should you wait if you are in courtship? There are some courtship, 2 years, 3 years, and some will say they're actually turning to Lord of the Rings. You must have heard something like that, that some people are turning to Lord of the Rings.
Tochi, you are taking all our time.
Oh, all right, let's go on.
Praise the Lord.
All right.
For me, everything is understanding. Fine, our culture differs. But if you and I are coming together to raise a family, I think you and I should be able to determine the type of culture that we want for our own family. Now, secondly, the other person that asks if he or she, if you can wait for 5 years, everything is understanding. Before I wait for you, you should be able to state out the reason why I'm waiting for you. If the reason is good with me, I'll wait for you. If it's not fine with me, Mama Loni, I don't know. Now the third one, the courtship is between you and I. If you want 6 months, I go with you for 6 months. If you want 2 years, I go with you. If it's not fine with me, Wajakwa, thank you very much.
I like the Yoruba mixture inside. All right. All right, so quickly, I will ask one question quickly that relates to the teen. So it's not as if we're talking about the adult, the youth, and so on. I think someone asked this question. It says, what is the age to start dating? That's one. I'm adding this to it. Can teens date? Because we see a lot of teens in our time. I think someone posted something that she went to the market. She has not gotten any Valentine's givers yesterday. But the number of teenagers she saw in the market and the gift they were buying were more than she that was an adult and has not gotten any Valentine's gift. So that's just to round it up. So please, can we get an answer? Maybe someone else, then you might do the addition to the question. Somebody else, then let her do the addition to the question. The question says, can teens date? That's one. And what is the age to start dating? Can teens date? And what is the age to start dating? Let's hurry up. In 2 minutes, you can answer, then the other person can just give an addition to it.
Good evening, everyone. So for me, I don't know what teens are looking for in boyfriend. What are they looking for? What do you want that your parents are not giving you? Because your parents gives you everything you want. So what do you want in a guy as a teen? And can they date? No. Because if your parents have told you that at this age you're not supposed to do this or do this, I don't think you'll be going to somebody to go and validate if it is true or not. Because most times that's what they want. Oh, okay, I want to experience this. What are you looking for in that experience? Experience that will get you into trouble. Experience that you regret in future. So for me, I don't know. It's not for them.
All right, thank you very much. All right, she wants to give an addition. Then also, I want Mommy D to give an addition to that question. Okay, let her give her addition first. Okay. Okay, brah, Toby. All right, so let's just do it one minute.
Praise God. I'll answer the first question.
Okay. The first one.
Actually, this question was asked the last year on when is the age to start dating. But as a simple recap, actually, I remember Mrs. D's answer to it, which was to start with, it's not really about the age. It's about when you are settled in your mind that you are at a place where you can get married. You are ready mentally, you are ready financially, everything that requires, you have that conviction in your heart, right, that for you to go ahead. So, and when you know that in a matter of a year or two, you are looking to get settled, then that is when you should start to date so that it doesn't unnecessarily take too long and we're not just clueless and random about where we are going. We know what we want to do. We want to date because we want to get married. I'm looking to get married in a year or two so I can begin to court somebody that is in alignment with, you know, what I desire in a partner, and someone I want to spend the rest of my life with. So that's a very simple answer. So that automatically answers the second question.
Thank you very much, Batobi. Okay, she wants to give an addition to it.
Please, thank you very much.
In one minute.
The age for you to start dating is determined how mature that you are. Everything for me in life is maturity. Relationship is not a joke. You want to go into a relationship, you should be prepared for anything. There are good times, there are bad times. So for you, you are matured emotionally, socially, spiritually, everything that actually anything. No. Now, can teens date? No. Kilenwa. Where are you going to? What purpose? No, not you. I feel like now for teens, you should start or get to know your purpose. What's that thing that God has created you for? Because when you know it, it makes it easy for you to live life. So for teens, it's a no for me.
Right, thank you very much. Okay, Staremi, 1 minute. So Momidi can answer.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so can teens date and at what age? Right. Can teens date? I would say no. The reason is that dating involves a lot of things. It involves mental stability, emotional stability. And at that point, when you're 18, you're supposed to understand who you are. So, who are you? If you can answer that question yourself, who are you? Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? What do I want to achieve in life? What do I want to do in life? Do I even want to get married? Everybody is not supposed to get married. That's the mistake a lot of people make. So, that's one. And then two, at what age? So, I'll still say maybe when you are over 18. You can even start looking at it. But even 18 is still a bit early. So I tell my children, I say, dating for you now is a no-no. Why? Because you are not old enough to carry the burden of a relationship. So you are in a relationship, you are dating. What are you doing? You are friends. Fine. So friendship, you can know the person. You can even care for the person. You can go to the movies with the person. But dating is when you have that name, dating, attached to something. Then some things now follow. Then you now say, okay, how does it feel to kiss? How does it feel to do this? How does it feel to do that? And then you now get yourself into trouble. Unwanted pregnancy, unwanted sex, sexual diseases, you know, all of that now comes in. So right now, I feel teens should know themselves, who you are, what your purpose is. Even if you want to marry, who do I want to marry? What is his profile? Do I want to marry an engineer? Do I want to marry an architect? Do I want to marry a banker? Do I want to marry somebody that has his own business? Do you understand? So know who you are. Understand yourself. At this stage, you do not even have a clue of who you are.
All right, thank you very much, Ma. I think she has answered a lot, and every other person that gave their contribution as well. Please, let's give them a round of applause. All right, then, quickly, I'm going to be merging two questions here again. One is on long-distance relationship, and the other says, okay, let me just read them out. This one says, is there love without compromise? Then the second, still on long-distance relationship. This one says, for those in long-distance relationship, does love endure the physical separation? And how do you maintain emotional connection while each other are apart? The first one I read says, is there love without compromise? Is there love without compromise? And for those in long-distance relationship, does love endure the physical separation? And how do you maintain the emotional connection coupled with the distance? Anybody? Long-distance relationship, how do you keep the connection? How do you guys just keep everything flowing? Then how do you love without compromise?
Let me talk about the second part you talked about. Anyway, for the first one, is there love without compromise? Love compels you to shift grounds, come to a compromise, do a lot of things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. Even from the scriptures, we see a lot of things that several of our fathers had to do because love was involved. Okay, that aside, then the other one that says, that talks about distance. I think it was it Seth Mansour that was handling the matter, and he talked about it in one of his teachings. Distant relationship, if it's a short thing, say somebody's doing a course or something, a short course or something, it's okay, it's fine. It's okay, it's fine, no problem. 3 months, 6 months, it's fine. But where it's almost like a permanent thing, it's risky. It's very, very, it's badly bad. Because there are a lot of things that will happen and a lot of things will go wrong. I'll stop.
All right, thank you very much, sir. Any other answer before we move on? On long distance relationship and loving without compromise. For real, I will personally want to hear more on that long distance of a thing. I don't know, but I feel some of us, let me not take it so personal. Some people are in long distance relationship. It could be you are here, the guy is abroad, or you are here in Lagos, the lady is in a different state, and maybe you guys get to see once or twice in a year. So how do you keep that relationship to keep, how do you keep up with the communication, the emotions, with the emotion of fate?
Praise God. So for the first one, love without compromise is a no-no. It's not possible to love without compromise. You cannot love without compromise. Something has to give way because you are not the same. You are not the same. So there are some things he will do or she will do that you don't like, but because you love that person, you have to give way. Then the relationship part. For me, I would say I would rather not. And I would rather not advise anybody to. So if you are married, if you are married, right, it's not even easy when you are married to live away from your spouse because you are not there. Anything can happen. Temptations happen. And then sometimes you don't even now know that person anymore because there is this distance. You can talk on the phone, yes. It can help, but there is more to a relationship than just talking on the phone. That's for married couples. If you are going to travel, I would advise you travel with your spouse and just be together. For dating, I won't advise it though.
Huh?
No, I won't advise it. For dating, and you are, I'm here, you are in London, and we are dating. How?
Online dating.
No, how now? How is it online? How? Facebook. What are you doing that you are not dating? You are just talking. Just, do you understand? You are not dating. That's the truth of the matter. Because you are supposed to be together, understand yourself, understand your habits. You can't know that through the phone. You will deceive the person. You can deceive the person 100 times over if you are far away and the person is here. So I would not advise.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Then, Bro Tobi, then I take one last question after this.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I want to touch on this long-distance relationship because I was close to getting into one in the past. So that prompted me to actually go and do a lot of research and hear a lot of the people that have had that experience. So the first thing to establish is for some people, it breaks down. For some people, eventually works. And what I would say is similar across their narration is that they don't advise it, just like Mrs. Dia said. So even for those that are able to weather that storm, even when you are physically together in the same location, there's a bit of work, effort, commitment, sacrifice, compromise, like we said, that comes into it. So not to now speak of being miles apart. Can it work? We have seen cases of people that it has worked, but it was something that they had to be very, very intentional. So be, and there has to be a very deep level of transparency, communication, and all of those things. So generally, not recommended. I mean, from last year, we had some people in church that dated for like 5-6 years. The first thing they first said is, number one, I don't recommend this. All right, so just to put that disclaimer there, that they went through it, it's not a yardstick that you can go through it. So you have to understand yourself, and it takes a lot of maturity. Praise God.
Hallelujah. All right, thank you very much, Brother Tobi. Then the last question for the evening, before we call it a wrap, it talks about overcoming betrayal. Yeah, some people, you hear, you've been served breakfast. This one don't call it breakfast as usual. You hear slangs like that. But trust me, even in church here, it happens a lot to even most of us seated here today. It says, if trust is broken or there's betrayal, can love alone mend the wounds and rebuild the foundation of the relationship? This is the last question I'll be taking tonight. Talking about overcoming betrayal. If the trust in a relationship is broken and there's betrayal, can love alone mend the wounds and rebuild the foundation of the relationship? Just one or two answers, then we take a wrap from here for the evening. All right, sir.
Okay, for me, love alone will not do it. Love will do a whole lot, but love alone will not do it. There's also the part that they call proving. The person who erred, we have to do a lot, put in so much effort to prove that this won't happen again. Because it cuts very deep when things happen in relationship. I remember one of those shocking things I heard once, even in Bible school, was that even where a spouse or a partner commits adultery in marriage, the Bible says that you can put the person away. The same Bible says you can forgive and even bring that person back, restore the person, because that's what love is. You have to forgive, as deep and as bad as it is. But then, aside forgiving, you really have to prove you will do a whole lot. Because when, let me give an example. If a woman forgives you, I'm using this because now woman own and they stick past. So you understand? So let's say a man commits adultery and then the woman is able to summon that love and forgive. The day you are greeting, whether catcher you give lift me, drop off a junction, you will prove who that person. Whether it's only you that can carry that lady, you have to. So there's a whole lot that is expected of you. And that's the reason why if a man carries a woman, or if a man comes home and he's telling his wife, it's been raining and this, that, 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 how to give Agnes a lift, and we had an accident. Of everything they talk, both the accident and everything, the only thing is, who is Agnes? So you have to do a whole lot to prove that you can be trusted again. Praise God.
Thank you very much, sir. We'll be rounding up here this evening because of time. I call on Pastor MY to come help us round up the session for the evening. Please let's give him a round of applause. Thank you.
Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to read from verse 4. The Bible says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8. Love never fails. That's just where I want to stop. Love never fails. And you see that 1 Corinthians 13 from 4 to 7 speaks to what Esther was talking about. Love is kind. And that's when we talk about compromise. Love does not insist on his own. Okay? Love always makes an excuse for you and gives you a very long rope to pull. But don't take love for granted. Hallelujah. You know that at the end of all these things, as much as God loves all of us, hallelujah, there's still going to be judgment. Amen. Because you get to the end of that love, hallelujah, and then he has to sift between his own and those that have refused his love. And that's why it's important that you do not break trust. It's very important. You will need more than love to bring back, to bring yourself to that level you were before and to continue in that level. Love does not insist on his own. In everything that you do, if you do love, you don't insist on your own. That's why it looks like we always say, we have grace, we have grace. It's because God loves us. Hallelujah. And he's waiting that, I just hope that with this love, you, at one point, you will see it. And it's very important. All that you do. As I said, I laid the foundation that God is love. All this electric shock that you are talking about, is bedrock in these matters. In the book of Ephesians, when God was talking, he spoke to two sets of people that I want to refer to. He spoke to the husbands and he spoke to the wives. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church. Your reference and your standard is Christ. Hallelujah. And how does this affect romantic, whatever? It is the foundation, or otherwise Christ wouldn't have talked about it. Amen. So you begin to ask yourself, how did he love the church? Amen. So that the man can love his wife the way he has loved the church. It's all about sacrifice. Hallelujah. He gave all that he had. He gave up everything that he has. Just so that you and I, and there's this thing that if it was only me that was on the surface of the earth and Christ had to come and save me, he would still do the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. In this age and time, a lot of people are too much materialistic. A lot of people are changing definition of things. But that's why things are failing. Because you have to always go back to the definition and to the foundation of everything. Amen. If the Bible says that love is kind and does not think of his own, begin to ponder on this scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Begin to ponder on it and begin to reflect on it. You cannot have too much of love. Amen. Hallelujah. I've seen people that will tell you that, I can't remember, when you go back and say, I'm sorry, they'll tell you, I can't remember what you're talking about. you offend them, okay, and then you go back and say sorry. I'm like, I can't remember, because you know they have put a sieve so that offense does not pass through that sieve. And that's why you need to understand how to be a specialist in love. You first love yourself, okay? Understand how to love yourself before you can love another person, right? You have to be able to do that, and it's very important. All the other things that we have talked about, money, finances, they're just fringes. Because if the center holds, why do you think that the shape of love is the heart? When you want to say, if you want to send love message, you send the heart and it'll be red. Abi, if somebody sends you a green, or a blue heart, would you wonder that this guy does not even understand that the heart is red? And because there are matters that are close, that the matters is a matter of the core of any human being, and if it's not there, that's the end of it. Amen. We can't finish talking about it, but these are foundations and questions that we have talked about. You can send in your questions, and there's room to sit down and discuss, because the focus is gradually being lost. So we have talked about some people. I've heard people talk about dating, but not one of you define dating. Hallelujah. Nobody defined dating. So what are you doing dating? Why would you go to someone and say, I want to date you? What is a calendar? It's true. Amen. There has to be a purpose. And we've talked about somebody's 5 years. Do you want to wait 5 years? If you want to go, if you have a purpose for anything, there's always a milestone and a target. And before anybody says they're in a courtship, those things have to be agreed upon. Those are the things that has to hold. And those are the things you continue in. And they a whole lot more. We talk about how many children you want to give birth to. So I've seen one man give birth to more than 2 children and he packed out of the house. He said because he told her before he got married that he only wanted 2. So when the third one came, he said she tricked him. I don't know how you trick somebody to do that. And then the third one came and then he packed out of the house. And then you begin to wonder that what is the essence of being together when these kind of things can break you? It's because the foundation has been faulty. And that's why I'm saying, leave the material things and focus on the core. If you have the... if you want to build... When we built this place, we said it was temporary. We'll soon finish, don't worry. We said it was temporary. And then, along the line, it suddenly becomes permanent. And then you have to do some expansion. Do you know that you are limited by the foundation that you have built initially? Is that when you are building upon it, the foundation begins to give you and everything crumbles? Or you look at it that, in the near future, I probably want to go like 2 or 3 buildings on this foundation. So the foundation you build will be able to withstand. That's what we are talking about. If you key your life in the Word of God and key your life into being a love specialist, when it comes to relationship, you will not make a mistake. Now, it takes 2 to tango, I know. But for every one of you, every one of us listening, you will be the second party in any relationship. Okay? And then you have that foundation, and then you'll be able to help. There are stories abound. There are so many examples that we can't talk about. But one thing is sure. I don't think my courtship lasted 6 months old. My own, it didn't last 6 months. Because when I decided I was going to get married, I knew that I was going to get married, and I said, Madam, I want to get married. I don't have time to be going up and down and going to the movie and going. I don't have that time. I want to get married. And then he said, okay, no problem. There's no point now. And then he said, okay, no problem. And then you begin to build there. And even when I said I want to get married, it was not even final, because you have to do certain foundational things. You have to build yourself up in the Word of God. Don't fly on, like, I can do it myself. It is not just love. No. It's more than that. God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise to our feet. Let's just thank God this evening. And we're going to talk to God that He makes us to understand the depth of the love that He has for us. It's very important. If you understand the depth of love that God has for you, then you are able to replicate that love, even when it is not about a relationship or about anything romantic. Even to the next man beside you, or to the next man by yourself, to your neighbors, like Grandma was saying, you love everybody in your compound. Love is infectious because it will replicate itself. And it does bring about peace. Just thank Him, because indeed you'll be So we just pray and just thank God that indeed we master this act of love. Because once you build yourself, you are able to build another person. You're able to walk in love and you're able to do the things that God expects of us. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We thank you. Thank you because you indeed, you are love. You exemplified love for us. And as we move, go ahead in this life, we're able to replicate what we have learned from you, from the word, and from all the things that we have seen written in the scriptures, that indeed our life is embedded in you. Bible says, if you love, you are in your, God abides in you. Thank you because you find our abode in us in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father.